Welcome to Cornerstone Reformed Baptist Church. Thank you for using and sharing our resources. What you're about to hear is God's word from one of our teaching elders. We trust that God's word will inspire, instruct, and bless you. For further teachings or information on our ministry, please visit us on our website at cornerstonerbc.com. That's cornerstonerbc.com.
So if you have your Bibles with you, let's open them up to the book of Deuteronomy. As we continue in our Old Testament readings, as we do every time we come together, we read a full chapter. I'll give a very brief summary of the chapter. We'll come to our Lord in prayer, and then we'll ask our brother Nelson to come and preach the word that the Lord has placed upon his heart for him to preach to us, trusting that our Lord and our Savior, by his Spirit, will be among us to feed us. We don't come here to hear the words of men. The words of men are useless. The words of men have no value. We come to hear the word of God, and by his Spirit we ask him to press it into our soul and to change us, to make us more like Jesus Christ. Let's open up to Deuteronomy chapter 33. This is the word of the Lord. This is the blessing with which Moses, the man of God, blessed the people of Israel before his death. He said, "The Lord came from Sinai and dawned from Seir upon us. He shone forth from Mount Paran. He came from the 10,000s of holy ones with flaming fire at his right hand. Yes, he loved his people. All his holy ones were in his hands, so they followed in your steps, receiving direction from you. And Moses commanded us a law as a possession for the assembly of Jacob. Thus the Lord became king in Jeshurun. When the heads of the people were gathered, all the tribes of Israel together. Let Reuben live and not die, but let his men be few." And he said of Judah, "Hear, O Lord, the voice of Judah, and bring him in to his people. With your hands contend for him, and be a help against his adversaries." And of Levi, he said, "Give to Levi your Thummim and your Urim, to your godly one whom you tested at Massah, with whom you quarreled at the waters of Meribah, who said of his father and mother, 'I regard them not.' He disowned his brothers and ignored his children. They observed your word and kept your covenant. They shall teach Jacob your rules and Israel your law. They shall put incense before you and hold burnt offerings on your altar. Bless, O Lord, his substance and accept the work of his hand. Crush the loins of his adversaries, of those who hate him, that they rise not again. For Benjamin," he said, "the beloved of the Lord dwells in safety. The high God surrounds him all day long and dwells between his shoulders." And of Joseph, he said, "Blessed by the Lord be his land, with the choicest gifts of heaven above and the deep that crouches beneath, with the choicest fruits of the sun and the rich yields of the months, with the finest produce of the ancient mountains and the abundance of the everlasting hills, with the best gifts of the earth and its fullness, and the favor of him who dwells in the bush. May these rest on the head of Joseph, and on the pate of him who is prince among his brothers. The firstborn bull, he has majesty, and his horns are the horns of a wild ox. With them he shall gore the peoples, all of them, to the end of the earth. They are the 10,000s of Ephraim, and they are the thousands of Manasseh." And of Zebulun, he said, "Rejoice, Zebulun, in your going out, and Issachar in your tents. They shall call peoples to their mountain. There they offer right sacrifices. For they draw from the abundance of the seas and the hidden treasures of the sand." And of Gad, he said, "Blessed be he who enlarges Gad. Gad crouches like a lion. He tears off arm and scalp. He chose the best of the land for himself, for there a commander portion was reserved. And he came with the heads of the people, With Israel he executed the justice of the Lord and his judgments for Israel. Of Dan, he said, Dan is a lion's cub that leaps from Bashan. And of Naphtali, he said, O Naphtali, stated with favor and full of blessing of the Lord, possess the lake and the south. And of Asher, he said, Most blessed of sons be Asher. Let him be the favorite of his brothers, and let him dip his foot in oil. Your bars shall be iron and bronze, and your days so shall your strength be. There is none like God, O Jeshurun, who rides through heavens to your help, through the skies his majesty. The eternal God is your dwelling place, and underneath are the everlasting arms. And he thrust out the enemy before you and said, Destroy. So Israel lived in safety. Jacob lived alone in the land of grain and wine, whose heavens dropped down dew. Verse 29. Happy are you, O Israel, who is like you, a people saved by the Lord, the shield of your help, the sword of your triumph. Your enemies shall come fawning to you, and you shall tread upon their backs. This is the word of our Lord Jesus Christ himself. He said, the heavens and earth will pass away, but my word will never pass away. Let's come before our Lord in a word of prayer, asking his blessing upon our time together. Oh Lord, we reverently come before you this evening. We come with reverent hearts, with thankful hearts, hearts of worship and thanksgiving for your goodness, for your grace that is showered upon us. Your blessed Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ. We meet in this place knowing full well that you by your Holy Spirit is among us, that we meet with God, not because we are worthy, we are not, not because somehow we've earned favor in your eyes, we have not, not because we are special in and of ourselves or we have aptitude or potential, we don't. We come to this place and we meet in this way in the name of Jesus Christ because of his shed blood that has cleansed us from our unrighteousness and reconciled us with the only God of the universe. And for that, we are grateful. Teach us, O Lord, to value. Teach us to value, Lord, what we are doing here this afternoon. That as the saints gather in the name of Jesus, how blessed an occasion it is. Lord, I pray that you would ignite our hearts with joy and thanksgiving. Show us afresh the glory of our salvation. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. This is it for the people of Israel. In a very short space of time, they're going to be girding up their loins, packing up their tents, picking themselves up from there, from being on the plains of Moab, and preparing themselves to cross over the Jordan River to go in and engage in the conquest to receive the land flowing with milk and honey, the land that Yahweh has promised this people. But there is a fundamental difference. Because the man who has led them for some 40 years now, that great prophet Moses, will not go over with them. The Lord had decreed that this Moses, who had led this people faithfully, because he broke faith with the Lord, in the waters of Meribah, and you remember the occasion, the Lord declared that Moses will not step foot on that land. He will see it with his eyes, but he will not step foot on that land. That was the judgment of God despite the pleading of Moses. Moses will have to hand over the baton to another by the name of Joshua, Yeshua, God's chosen one, who will go in and lead the people of Israel into battle. Chosen by God for that function. And that book comes next after 34. We're in 33 now. We've got 34 and then the book of Joshua. That baton will be handed over from one great prophet of God, and Joshua will take on the reins and lead the people of Israel thus far. But he will not hand that baton over until he has a final word. And what we have here before us in Deuteronomy chapter 33, beloved, is that final word. The final word, not only before he departs from his people, but before he actually dies. He's led this people, he's almost 120 years of age, and the Lord has called him to end his function as the leader of this people and to die on the mountain before the Lord. This is his final word here in Deuteronomy chapter 33. Now it's true. This great prophet has been speaking throughout the chapter of the book of Deuteronomy, has he not? A series of great sermons under inspiration of the Holy Spirit, speaking on behalf of God, the mouthpiece of God, speaking on behalf of Yahweh to these people. But we need to remember who these people are. This is the second generation Israel. These people, for the most part, were either technically children when the Lord rescued them from the land of Egypt, because they were under the age of 20, or they were born in the wilderness. For the most part, these are the people who experienced the rumblings and the thunderings and the lightnings from the Mount of Sinai or Horeb, when God opened his mouth and spoke the covenant to these people. And they covenanted with God, and that covenant was ratified by the blood of oxen. For the most part, these people weren't present. Their parents were. But the parents' bodies are scattered across the desert wastelands. Because although they've said everything that Yahweh speaks we shall do, we will obey, they disobeyed. They rebelled. They committed treason against Yahweh. And their bodies are scattered all across the desert wasteland. You and I know, because we've gone through the five books of Moses. We've read the history. They weren't a very good example to their children. But here we have Moses pointing them back, continually pointing them back in the book of Deuteronomy and saying, look at the faithfulness of Yahweh. Look at his goodness. Look at his grace. Despite the unfaithfulness, you're not wiped out as a people. He's given his word that he will make you a people, a nation, and give you a land. And he will do these things despite your unfaithfulness. Look back. The book of Deuteronomy is about looking back, pointing back and saying, reminisce, remember. Look back at the faithfulness of God. And now that you're aware of his faithfulness and you've seen his good hand, go forward in his strength. Go forward in his faith. Not in your own. Don't do what your parents did. The book teaches us. It teaches his people to look back from the humble beginnings of when God spoke to their father, Abraham. One man called out of Ur of the Chaldeans. And a promise made to this man that he'll be a great father, a great father of many nations, that his descendants will be more abundant than the stars in the sky or the sand on the seashore, that from his loins will come kings, that God will give him a land flowing with milk and honey yet to be realized. But believe, Abraham believed. And it was accounted to him as righteousness. We read that from that humble beginnings, how from his loins indeed God blessed him, blessed his son Isaac, where the covenant was reiterated into, and Jacob and his sons, and they grow in number. They go to Egypt, and the Lord blesses them in number, and they grow and grow, and then they become slaves under the Egyptians. The tyrannical power of Pharaoh. Where was God in all this? He was faithful. He'll keep his promises because he is faithful. He rescued them from the land of Egypt. Moses is reminding his people throughout this book to remember that God rescued your ancestors from the land of Egypt. You're under slavery. You were worthless. You're pitiful. You couldn't do anything on your own. You had no power against such a superpower. But God rescued you from their hand. Back. Remember. The supernatural hand of God through the miracles and the wonders that you'd never seen before. No man had seen before. Remember, despite the poor, unfaithful, rebellious examples of your fathers and your mothers, God remained faithful. Though you are unfaithful, he remains faithful. Don't follow their example. Keep your eyes on me, on God. Keep your eyes on Yahweh, the faithful one. The baton is being now passed from that first generation who died in the wilderness to this new second generation that are before Moses, hearing him speak throughout the book of Deuteronomy. God has covenanted not only with your parents, he's covenanted with you as a people. That means you and the future generations. That covenant stipulations that you know of, those covenant stipulations that the great prophet Moses has expounded and exposited for these people throughout the book of Deuteronomy. Therefore, you, he's saying, not only for your parents who have died and perished in the wilderness, this is God, me being pleased to make covenant with you. The God of the universe has been pleased to make you his people and he, your God, that you would know him. This is for you. The book of Deuteronomy is the great prophet opening up the covenant and saying, this is the stipulations. These are what your parents agreed to. This is what you agreed to. Now own it. Follow by faith. Obey the Lord your God. Who else do you have? There's soon to be a people with a land, because that promise is soon to be given to them. But what is the goal in all of this? What is the goal in Moses, this great prophet, reiterating and expounding and expositing and explaining the book of the covenant, which is the covenant stipulations that God Yahweh had given to these people? What is the meaning? What is the end game, you might say? Is it simply about a land flowing with milk and honey? Is that what they're supposed to grasp, and once they receive it, that's it? We're a blessed people. We've achieved what we've always wanted to achieve. Is that what God simply has promised to Abraham? That one day, once you get that land flowing with milk and honey, that's it? We've reached the end? Is that really the blessedness? Is that really their happiness? In what should their happiness and their blessedness and their joy be rooted? Is it in the fact that one day they'll receive this land? And they will. It's not only a matter of time where God will be faithful and he will lead them with Joshua Yeshua to go into battle, and they will receive that land. We know the story. They will. But is that the end game? Is that really why God rescued them? Go further. Is that really why God said to Abraham, come out of Ur of the Chaldeans, I'm going to make you a great father, a great nation? Is that all it takes? Once they be given a land, they're happy and joyful, will there really be rest for their soul? Some may have thought that way. I don't know. Some may have thought that way. But this great prophet begs to differ. His final words to the whole nation, his final words before the Lord calls him up to die. You think about, have you ever thought about your final words? Sometimes I have. I've not thought of anything profound to say other than follow Jesus. But his final words before he leaves his people who he's been leading for 40 years through thick and thin, this great prophet of God under inspiration of Holy Spirit, I believe, the words that come out of his mouth are fashioned. They're designed for these people to keep their ears and their eyes and their hearts and their affections upon Yahweh. Not to lose course, not to look to the left, nor to the right. I look to God and God alone, his beloved. In his final words, that land flowing with milk and honey does not make the cut. What we see before us, very quickly, is blessings to the individual tribes of Israel. Moses is blessing them, as you would remember, Jacob blessed his sons in Genesis chapter 49, very much like a father would bless his sons, is what we see here before us. But then this great prophet gets to the heart of true blessing, the heart of true happiness, the heart of true joy. He'll get that. To that, in the final verses of this chapter, when he opens his mouth no longer to individual tribes, but to Israel as a whole. The multitudes that stand before him receiving from this prophet will hear him address them as a whole in the final words we have recorded for us from the prophet's lips to the people of Israel before he's called by God to die before him. and the veracity of these words, Moses is saying, the truthfulness of these words now that I've addressed the individual tribes is for all of you. Take heed. Listen. Listen to my final words that are under inspiration of the Spirit of God. Listen to what I'm about to say. And we'll find those words in the last few verses. But I'm not going to go there for the sake of time. I didn't even start my time. I'm sorry if I've gone over. But let me just finish with this. I really only want to go to verse 29. Let's put our eyes down to verse 29. In his final words to this people, this great prophet Moses says, happy are you, O Israel. Happy are you. You know, the prophet Moses wrote the first five books of the Bible. He's written many words. Do you know that word happy? This is the only time he writes it. He's reserved. It could be translated blessed. Happy, blessed. It's the only time he writes this word. Happy and blessed. He's reserved it to the last words he speaks to the people of Israel. Happy, blessed are you, O Israel. Who is like you? A people saved by the Lord, the shield of your help and the sword of your triumph. Your enemies shall come fawning, or they'll be cringing before you, and you shall tread upon their backs. What do you find in these few words here? I think there's three main things I want to put out for you. You want to know why you're blessed? You want to know why you're happy? You want to know why you're exalted above all the nations of the world? You're saved by the Lord. That's what Moses is saying. Remember, there's two planes happening. There's a physical plane. They were all saved from the land of Egypt. There are some who were really saved spiritually because their hearts were given. Their hearts were circumcised by him. Your joy, your happiness, your blessedness, your exaltation, your glory is rooted in the fact that you've been saved by God. You're pitiful apart from him. I'm pitiful apart from him. We're all pitiful apart from him. What could these people do on their own in Egypt? What power did they have if they wouldn't stand against the stronghold of Pharaoh? They could do nothing. The best they could do is obey a tyrannical leader like Pharaoh. There is nothing they do. But God looked upon them with mercy. He's a God who hears. He's a God who sees. He's a God who knows, we're told. And he looked upon their plight. Blessed. Happy are you. Because you know the salvation of the Lord. Blessed and happy are you. Because you know the protection of the Lord. He is your shield. He's your protector. You want to flex your muscles? See how far you go. They tried to flex their muscles. Back, you remember when the Lord said to the tribe that the spies had come back, and they said to the spies, Jacob and Caleb said, we can do it. The Lord will take us in. He's promised us the land. He'll give it to us. We don't care if giants live in the land. And the ten came and put fear in the hearts of the people. They said, we're not going. God got angry. Judgment came upon them. And then God said, your land, your body's going to be scattered in the wilderness. 40 years, you're not going to see the land flowing with milk and honey because of your unbelief. But then they said, they mourned all night, and then the next morning they said, we're going to go. We're going to go. They presumed on the grace of God, even though God said, no, don't go. You're not going to. My judgment is going to come upon you. They said, no, we can flex our own muscles. We can do it on ourselves. And they went and they chased them down like bees and killed them. Do you want to try to do things on your own strength? Yahweh is saying, rejoice in this. You're blessed in this. You're distinct from all the other nations of the world because you know my salvation, and with it comes my protection. And there's a third thing that we see in these words. You know my power because your enemies will be crushed under my feet. Imagine being in a place where you have no enemies. Imagine being in a place where there's no conflicting thoughts, no attacks, no flaming arrows, no temptation. Imagine the place where everyone around you is for you and not against you because your enemies have been taken care of. Yahweh's promising his people, look to me. Keep your eyes fixed upon me. Trust in me. And let me take care of your enemies. Let me take care of your foes. Don't try to do it with your own strength. Don't try to do it with your own intellect. Don't try to do it with your own knowledge.
You cannot do it. He who is against you is stronger than you, but he's not stronger than he is with you. If you truly know him, he who is in you is greater than him who is in the world. But if you don't know him, he who is in the world is stronger than all of us.
In a word, I believe that in the final words Moses gives to the people of Israel, I believe Yahweh, God, is saying, in a word, what makes you unique among all the people? What makes you blessed? I have made myself known to you. I have declared that you will be my people and I will be your God. In that rejoice. In that know you are blessed. In that know that you are happy. And in that know that you are blessed amongst all the nations of the world. This is what makes you different. Happy are you, O Israel, who is like you. You know God. The unknowable God is known to you because he condescended down to make himself known. How does this relate to us New Testament Christians? Beloved, how does that relate to us? How is God made known to us? It is the Word who became flesh who exegetes God to us. It is he who makes God known to us. Beloved brothers and sisters, those of us who before the Lord in a clear conscience are able to say that I have been united by the grace of God through the faith that he's given me in Jesus Christ. I know him as Lord. I know him as Savior. I know him as Redeemer. Those of us who have known his salvation, those of us who have known him as our protector, as our shield, those of us who have known him as the great victor, Christus victor, the one who's victorious on the cross, who cried out, "It is finished," it means he's taking care of all the enemies. Those of us who know him this way, know the great price that was paid upon the cross, for him to declare us saved, for him to be able to protect us in that this way, and for him to conquer our enemies and bring us in Jesus Christ, for us to enjoy the victory that Christ accomplished. We would know the price, and the price was nothing less than the precious blood of the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. God, the eternal God, became flesh. The eternal God came into this world and lived that perfect righteous life in the perfect obedience to all the stipulations of God the Father and his law and the special commandments God gave him alone to obey. And when he died upon that cross, he declared it is finished. It was finished. For everyone who had come to trust in him, what Jesus accomplished upon that cross is enjoyed by everyone who is truly united. I don't know about you, but in the final words of Moses before his death, I hear him saying, don't let your joy, don't let your happiness, don't let your security, don't let your rest be rooted in any physical thing. Let it all be rooted in the fact that you know Yahweh. The one who rescued you when you were helpless. The one who protected you when you were weak. And the one who's taking care of all your enemies. And we know he has done so through Jesus Christ.